I would like to begin with the sixth verse. I'm thankful in study sometimes I'd visited with Mom, and I was to the point I really didn't understand what was going on, what was Moses was trying to say. But after we hung up and I didn't have to call her for quite a while after that, it was like, it was so wonderful. The Holy Spirit just began to explain to me why, and I understood it. And I thank the Lord that He is so faithful. You get to the place, you get so frustrated in yourself. You say, Lord, I don't know what in the world. Then the Holy Spirit comes in and He takes over. Let's begin with the sixth verse tonight. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed from Gedgoda and from Gedgoda to Jotbath, a land of rivers of water. In these two verses we read of how the children of Israel journeyed from Mount Sinai. In these verses we read of Aaron going on to be with the Lord. We read of Eleazar taking over for Aaron. Well, there's much more than what meets the eye here. In chapter 9:20, if we'll turn back there a moment, we will recall that Aaron, he, at the Mount Sinai, he's the one that shaped that molten calf. He's the one that the Lord held responsible for that. In verse 20 of the previous chapter, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. The Lord, He was wroth with Aaron. But we know Moses interceded. He interceded for the whole nation of Israel. He interceded for Aaron. He went up into the mount for 40 days and he interceded. I would like now to go to Numbers 33. In study, I found that it was this incident that Moses recorded in the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy had a little bit of different order than what the journeyings that were recorded in Numbers 33. And I thought about this all week long. And I thought, Lord, what is going on here? Why is Moses recounting this in a different order? Well, as I said, the Holy Spirit opened that up to me this afternoon. And we'll get to that. In Numbers 33, verses 16 to 19, and we're not going to read these, but from verses 16 to 38, we have when the children of Israel left Sinai. They were at Mount Sinai over 2 years. Moses, the Lord gave him the pattern for the tabernacle, gave him the pattern for the priesthood, the offerings, everything. That tabernacle was built there at Mount Sinai. Everything that they had to make that tabernacle was put together there at Mount Sinai. And I will show you how I have come to that conclusion because we have scripture. Exodus 40. Okay, in Exodus 40, and I would like to read the 17th verse. This is when Aaron reared up the tabernacle, and this was in Mount Sinai. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. He was given the pattern. He had Bezalel and Aholiab. They were the master workmen. They built this. Now let's turn to Numbers 10. Okay, Numbers 10 and the 11th verse. This is when the Lord told them to leave Mount Sinai. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. We read here in Numbers 33 and verse 16, and they removed from the desert of Sinai. They removed. After being there for 2 years, they began their journey. And the way that they left was because God forgave them. Moses interceded for these people, for Aaron. God forgave them. He said, you can go on. So they departed here in verse 16. Then over in verse 38 of this same chapter, we read, and Aaron the priest went up into the Mount Hor, Mount Or, at the commandment of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come up out of the land of Egypt in the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. Now, in Deuteronomy, Moses, he lists these different places that they camped, these different encampments, from time of Sinai until the death of Aaron. The reason that they're out of order compared to Numbers is because Moses just wanted to show them how God had forgiven them. Here, Aaron was forgiven in that second year after they had left Egypt, after that second year of being on Mount Sinai. And yet we see him in the 40th year going up to Mount Hor. That's how Aaron, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah did. But that is why these cities are in a different order than what they are in Numbers. Moses just wanted to show these children of Israel of the grace that was shown to Aaron, the grace that was shown to this nation. He could have slain them all right then, slain Aaron. He could have started a brand new nation, great and mightier than Moses. But he didn't, because of his grace. I would like to turn to Numbers 20 now. Oh, yes. Numbers 20. And I would like to begin with verse 23. This was in the 40th year. This was 38 years after they left Sinai. Up to the time, Moses, he didn't get to go into the land either, but neither did Aaron. And we're going to read here in verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. Strip Aaron of his garments, of his priestly garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and there, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into the Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. In these verses, we see them all three going up to Mount Hor. But only two came back down, Moses and Eleazar. Aaron here, he is a type of Christ who took all the Aaronic priestly ordinances to the grave. Remember, the Aaronic priesthood was just a shadow of what was to come. That tabernacle all spoke of Jesus, and everything in there was a shadow, a foreshadowing of Jesus. Aaron, his name means light bringer. It also means mountainous. And if you that have Lockyer's book on all the men in the Bible, look about Aaron, of all how much of a type he is of Christ. Brother Lockyer brings quite a bit out there. Eleazar here, his name means God is helper. And Eleazar is a type of Christ in resurrection. I would like to turn to Exodus 28, 1. This is when God gave Moses the order for the priesthood, and we'll see that Eleazar was Aaron's third son. Exodus 28, beginning with the first verse. And take, or this take means bring near, thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. This was the priestly line. Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire unto the Lord, and they were killed at the very moment there in Leviticus 10. We see here Eleazar is the next in line. Number three, he's the third son. Number three is the number of resurrection. As we had in our lesson last week in verses 1 to 5, we read of the ark. Moses was instructed by God to put the ark, to make the ark, and these second set of tablets that God gave him when he went back up, those were to be placed in the Ark of the Covenant. We have the first mention here in Deuteronomy of the Ark. All right, now we'll look at verses 8 and 9 of this 10th chapter. At that time was there in Exodus 32, when Moses, he came down from the mount and he saw what he did, those people worshiping that golden calf. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Now here we see who the Lord had ordained to care for the ark, and we read there the three different things that the Lord intended for the Levites to do. They were to bear the ark and the articles of the tabernacle, and this bear means to lift or to raise up. The Kohathites, Levi had three sons, Kohath, Gershom, and Merari. Kohath's name means the willing, obedient ones. On their shoulders, they carried the most precious articles, the ark, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, all of those that had staves carried on their shoulders. They did not let them hit the ground. They bore Jesus on their shoulders. Then they were, these Levites were to stand before the Lord to minister. This word stand here means they were the ones to offer the sacrifices. Remember, God set the priests apart. He ordained those that were to be the priests. Remember how Korah, he intruded into the priesthood? He was not of that line. God swallowed him up in the earth. They were to stand before God to serve him. Then the third was to bless in his name unto this day. Bless means to worship. They were to worship the Lord. Now, here it says, at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi. He separated this tribe. Remember, there were 12 tribes. God separated this one tribe out of the 12 for himself. He selected them. We think we go to the grocery store. We want to select something off the produce aisle. We select it. We handpick it. We feel it, if it's firm, if it's what we want. Well, that's the way God did with the tribe of Levi. He's hand-selected them. He knew their hearts. He knew what they would do, how they would react. Levi's name means joined. They were joined unto the Lord. Let's look at Exodus 32 again. Exodus 32, and we'll begin with the 26th verse. And I'd never thought about some of the notes that I found this week. We know, let's begin with verse 25, just pick it up. And when Moses saw that the people were naked or ashamed, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. And this is where I want to start. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." Notice who came. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." Notice the reaction. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Obedience. They didn't say, "Oh, but they're my brother. I can't do that." Who is on the Lord's side? Obeyed. I found that this "who is on the Lord's side," it implies the surrender of one's own will. It is essential to a true servant or workman. Who is on the Lord's side? Levi did according to the word of God. They were God's representatives. Obedience, that's what they did. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. They identified with God. They were joined unto the Lord. All right? When we take, by faith, when we take our place on the right hand of God, what do? We're joined unto the Lord. Now, we should have his viewpoint on things. Levi did. Let's see another. We have a very good example. They said, they had the attitude, okay, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. That's just exactly what they did. All right, we have a good example. This very same example. Acts 9, just like Levi did. Acts 9. We know this is the conversion of Saul. I want to begin with the fourth verse. And I want you to notice what Paul says. We see a complete surrender of his own will. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Right there, Paul, or Saul at that point, was surrendered to God's will. What wilt thou have me to do? Levi was not, he is in the same position Paul was. Let's turn back to Genesis 49. He had nothing of himself that anyone could be proud of. And we'll see that here in the prophecy that his father prayed over him in Genesis 49. Genesis 49, beginning with the fifth verse. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Levi didn't have anything good said about him at all. He was full, he was full of self-will. He was full of violence. He was full of cruelty. Who's that remind you of? The old man. Each one of us, that's exactly, this is our description. That's what we were. Sister Bodie, in her book regarding this, she says, Jacob's prophecy spoke of their disruption and their scattering and the doom pronounced against them, which, what Jacob said, was to their benefit, which is the means whereby they are brought into loneliness, individuality, and weakness, which is the opposite of strength, which comes from unity. This is the reproof and the remedy for their violence and cruelty by nature and by practice. And again, this is a good description of our old man. They were self-willed, they were fierce, and they were cruel, just the same as each one of us before we were born of God. It was only God's grace that this tribe, the tribe of Levi, was singled out and brought into a place such high and holy privilege. It was the grace of God that brought them from being self-willed and cruel and fierce to being willing to do whatever God wanted them to. God knew their hearts, and he knew they were pliable in his hands. Another good example, our dear Apostle Paul. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 1. Paul knew he was just exactly this way before the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus. He never forgot what he was like. He never forgot that they had their clothes laid down at his feet, those that stoned Stephen. Paul gave his vote to have Stephen stoned. Paul never forgot that. Let's begin with the 12th verse. And I thank God, Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul knew who he was. Let's turn to Ephesians 3. If you want to read what Levi and Simeon did, that's in Genesis 34. Ephesians 3, and we're going to begin with the 7th verse. Again, this is Paul. He knew where he had been taken from, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. He knew it was a gift. Of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less or least than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Paul knew how far he'd been brought. Do each of us know how far we've been brought? How wonderful the distance that we have been brought. This is what the Lord did for Levi. In verse 9, before we go on, I would like you to read in your own studies, Numbers 8. It tells of the purification and the cleansing that that tribe of Levi had to go through. They had to be cleansed, and then they had to be completely shaven. The razor had to be applied, and that spoke of removing everything of self-will, everything of our nature. I looked into that this week, and I didn't know if the Lord would allow me to bring this out tonight. But look into that. It is wonderful. They were willing to let everything of the old nature be shaved off. Nothing was saved. That razor had to be applied. Let's look at verse 9. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Let's look at Numbers 18. Then we'll read Numbers 3. I kind of got ahead of myself here. Numbers 18. Numbers 18 and the 6th verse. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren. This is the Lord speaking unto Aaron. This chapter 18 is entitled, The Aaronic Priesthood Established. In verse 6, And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. What were given unto us as a gift from the Lord, the pastors and the teachers and the apostles and the evangelists. A gift to us. Let's look at verse 20 in this chapter. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levite shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Then on down in verses 25 to 29, that what the Levites receive, they tithe on. Let's turn back to Numbers 3 right quick. In Numbers 3, this was before they left Mount Sinai, here in Numbers, before we get to the 10th chapter. The Lord told Moses to put everybody in order. All those from 20 years old were able to go to war. Then he talks to the, about the priests as well, here in this third chapter. Numbers 3:6, and beginning in the verse 5, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near," or this is a presentation to Jehovah, "and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacles. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron." Aaron here is a type of Christ. "And to his sons they are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel." Then over here, we want to look at verse 14 of this same chapter. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male, from a month old and upward, thou shalt number them." It wasn't just those from 20 years old and upward that were able to go to war. With the Levites, it was from a month old and upward. Mom had in her study book, she said, our priestly life begins the moment that we're born of God. We don't have to wait till we're 20 or so. The minute that we are born of God, our priestly service begins. He is making us now a kingdom of priests unto God. That's in Revelation, right? In Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Is that the one you were looking for? Let's look at Numbers 26, continuing in this of Levi. Numbers 26. Numbers 26:62. And this is how many Levites there were. "And those that were numbered of the Levites, of them, were 23,000, all males from a month old and upward. For they were not numbered among the children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel." Let's look at Numbers 35. We'll see what the Lord did give them. He was their inheritance. Numbers 35 and the first verse. And again, this is in the plains of Moab, right where they are right now. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs." Suburbs, or this is pasture ground, around where they gave the Levites to live, "for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, and for their goods, and for all their beasts. And all the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities of refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities, and ye shall give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many, but from them that have few ye shall give few. But every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites, according to the inheritance which he inheriteth." The Lord provided for the Levites. He provided them a place to live, plus he provided a place. When individual brought a tithe of his cattle, he had to have a place for that to be put. That's why the Lord provided the suburbs or the pasture ground for these tithes that the people brought. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 18, we'll read verses 1 and 2. "The priests, the Levites, And all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. He, Jesus Christ, God the Father, they were his inheritance. He was their inheritance. In verse 10, in Deuteronomy 10, and I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy thee. This is over in Exodus 32, verses 30 to 35. This is when Moses went up. He ate the sin offering for Israel. He said, Lord, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. Moses interceded. He identified with that nation because he loved that nation. Not only did God forgive the nation, he also forgave Aaron. In verse 11 here, and the Lord said unto me, arise. We know right there that God had forgiven. God could have wiped them all out, even Moses. But by him, and you can read in Exodus 33:1, he says, go ahead and depart and take your journey. Moses says here, and the Lord said unto me, arise. This word arise here, it means to excite to action or get up and go. See, the Lord gave them the go-ahead. Go, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. The Lord forgave them. Therefore, let's go on. Let's go and inherit the land that I have given you, because I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know in Hebrews 6, he swore by himself because there was no one greater to swear by. Hebrews 6, 13 to 18. Now let's look at verses 12 to 13. Here the Lord forgave them for what they did on Mount Sinai. Now, 38 years later, they're in the plains of Moab. They're getting ready to cross Jordan. They're going to go and possess the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now, let's just read this. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. It was to their benefit that they would obey. This is all that he required. All he required was obedience. This word require here, it means that's all he asked for. He asked for obedience. But what the Lord required of them was nothing impossible nor extraordinary, but what was simple and truly within their doing. It was their duty. We're going to look at, there are five here. To fear, but to fear the Lord. This is all the Lord's asking for. But to fear the Lord thy God. This fear means here is to revere or to reverence, to worship. Remember that first commandment they were given, thou shalt have no other gods before me? He wanted their worship. He is a jealous God. He wanted their worship. Then to walk in all of his ways, not just some, not pick and choose, but to walk in all his ways. This means to live diligently, with care, perseveringly, conducting oneself in a godly way. Speaks of their manner of life. What was their manner of life to be? What has Paul admonished us that our manner of life should be? Let's look at Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, and this word conversation means behavior, or our manner of life, becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together by the faith of the gospel. Our manner of life is to behave as a citizen of heaven. We're not citizens of this country. We are citizens of a kingdom far greater. We're a native of heaven. We are going home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, our manner of life is not to mix in with that they can't tell the difference between us and someone of the world. Our behavior, our manner of life is to be different, to be heavenly. Hey, they're not from this country. I pray that that's what they can say of me. She's not from this country. I'm a foreigner. I belong in heaven. The next one was to love him. Love him. This speaks of undivided loyalty, faithfulness, and trust. This is what he wants. The next one is to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Not just a part, but every bit of you. This serve means every activity, every effort, every labor, or every work was to be wholehearted, glorifying God. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men. Let's look at Ephesians 6. This is speaking to servants. Well, we're a bond slave. We're bond slave of love to the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Then in verse 13, Moses says, this is what the Lord wants, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. This keep here, it means to guard, to protect, not only just to guard and protect, but they were to heed what God has said. They were to take to heart every one of those commandments. Remember, they put themselves in this covenant with Jehovah. They were bound. Now, if you'll notice, the middle, there were five. There were two on each side to love him. All of this is based on love. They had to love him preeminently. He desired all God asked. All he desired or asked for, demanded for nothing else but obedience. Clear back in Exodus 15, even before the law was given, he said, if you'll do what I tell you. Well, let's just read that. I can't quite remember what it said. Exodus 15. And this was before the law was ever given. This is all he wanted. In Exodus 15:26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15:22, clear back to the Garden of Eden. And he also said, in the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience, that's all he wants. Let's look at Hosea 6:6. Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy. This here is also obedience and loving kindness, and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Let's turn to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Those are all results of the new creation. Let's turn back to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah speaking. Jeremiah 7, verse 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. In verse 24, But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Only the new creation can obey God, and we'll find that in Romans 8. Romans 8, and I'd like to begin with the second verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the sin of from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. As we walk in the new creation, it's fulfilled in us, not by us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The old creation doesn't want to or doesn't even have the ability to obey God's word. And we'll read down in verses 7 and 8 that it is at enmity against God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So the new creation life that we have allowed to grow up in us will obey God's word. Obedience is in the nature of the new creation. So if we're obeying God's word, guess what nature is living? If we're not, guess which nature is living? In the Hebrew, this verse, for thy good, all in verse 13, which I command thee this day for thy good, in the Hebrew, it reads, that it may be well with us. Obedience to God would be to their benefit. And as we have on the chalkboard, obedience. The only way we can glorify God is to obey him. Because obedience brings glory to him.